for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2007 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, April the 6th, 2007. Dr. William Knoll is the speaker of this service, teaching on Familiar Spirits Through Generational Curses.
Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Come in your power and your majesty and your might, Lord. Come. Lord, we just stand here before you, Lord, and we loose the spirits of wisdom and knowledge and counsel and might and fear of the Lord. We bind the spirits of stupor in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirits of stupor and dumbness, and we loosen the spirits of learning, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that the eyes of the understanding will be opened and behold you in your glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now can be seated. We're going to talk about generational curses. I want you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. This is probably one of the most controversial things that I preach on, teach on. I've had people get so upset to throw their Bibles at me and storm out of the building. Really just get violently upset. And so if I say anything that steps on your doctrinal toes, please don't get mad at me. Now, I won't get mad at you if you don't believe everything just the way I do, as long as we agree on the essential things. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, manifested in the flesh, died on the cross for our sin, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of God the Father, where we made children of the living God. You know? Those are essential things. You have to believe those things. But they're, you know, someone once told me that Amy McPherson, who founded the Four Square Church, said, in the essential things, there must be unity. In the non-essential things, there must be liberty. But in all things, there should be charity or love. And I thought this sounded so good, I quoted that to my son. And he said, Dad, that wasn't original with Amy. She quoted it from Martin Luther in 1500. I said, oh, okay. He said, it wasn't original with Martin Luther either. He quoted from Augustine in the year 300. So that goes a long way back.
Sure blows the dock now.
So let's listen and with an open mind. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. Him, Moses, is getting ready to go back up on Mount Sinai with another set of tablets that he chiseled out because he threw the first ones down and broke them. And God is speaking to him. And he says, verse 4, so he cut two tablets of stone like the first one. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as God commanded him. He took within his hand two tablets of stone. Now God, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now the name in the Hebrew speaks of the nature. Just like Judah means praise. He said, that fourth boy, she said, praise God, my husband's going to love me now. So I'm going to name him Judah. And so God proclaimed his name, which is his character. And let's see what the character and nature of God is. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Now let's look at that. Merciful and gracious. Those words are used 13 times in the Old Testament. 11 times they're used together. And they're always in reference to God's nature. Now, the theological the theological word book of the Old Testament says that word merciful literally means to stroke in love or to caress in love. The word gracious means for a greater body to reach down and pick up a lesser body. And I said, God, what does that mean? And he brought to mind one time I had punished one of my children for disobedience. And he grabbed my leg and he was crying. And I reached down and I picked him up and I held him close to me and I loved him. I said, son, I love you very much. But you must learn that willful rebellion has painful consequences.
Amen, brother
God. I love you, but I must discipline you. And I just held him and loved him and cried with him. And that's the nature of God. That's God's nature. That's merciful and gracious. Long-suffering. Now, literally in the Hebrew, that means slow to dilate the nostril. You know, when you get mad, you take a deep breath and your nostrils dilate. Well, God's slow to do that. It means patience, long-suffering, willing to give a second and third chance. That is a fruit of the Spirit in your relationship with other people. Abounding in goodness and truth. Now, goodness is something hard to translate. That when you look it up in the Bible, it translates it in terms of itself. But its synonym is mercy. And that same word is translated further down as mercy. And Jesus said, only God is good. He said that in Mark. Mark 9:17, he said, only God is good. Mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Well, sin comes from a archery term, which means to miss the mark. You shoot at the bullseye and you hit off to one side. That's okay. You don't quite hit center. And you can sin and not know it. You just didn't. You weren't on God's will. Transgression means that you know it's wrong, but you do it. You transgress the law. You break the law. And sometimes you can slip into it. Iniquity. That means rebellion. That means you shake your fist in God's face and say, I know that you don't like it, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I don't care what you think about it. I had a young man that was, he'd fallen off a cliff, transected his spine. He was on a stiker frame. He was turned. And we prayed for him, and God raised him up off that stiker frame, and he walked out of that hospital. I mean, and you know, and he looked at me later, and he said, I know God healed me. I know that he healed me, and he raised me off of that frame. But I'm going to fornicate with girls, only he used another word that I can't use, a four-letter word that I can't use. I'm going to do drugs, and I don't give up, another four-letter word, what God thinks about it. And I backed off like this. He said, what's wrong? I said, son, I don't want the lightning to hit me when it strikes you. Amen. Now, that's iniquity. That's iniquity. I mean, I'm going to do what I want to, and I don't care. Now, he eventually did come to the Lord Jesus Christ when he got to the bottom of the pit and couldn't get out. The third time he was in jail. And he's walking with Jesus now, and he's married, and he's doing well. But it was a, you know, you don't have to go through that much pain to get there. You don't have to go through that. And so that's the nature of God. Now he says, not clearing, well, let's see here. Is it not clearing the guilty? Now if you've got an NIV or a New American Standard, and the New American Standard is an excellent Greek translation, it says not leaving the guilty unpunished. Not clearing the guilty is an old English way of saying not leaving the guilty unpunished. Now let's look at this word iniquity. That word in the Hebrew is avon, like the Avon lady. A-V-O-N, avon. And it means rebellion and the punishment for the rebellion. Derek Prince says it means rebellion and all its evil consequences. And if you look at Lamentations, I think it's 6. It's either 4 or 6. Lamentations comes right after Jeremiah. And it's no 6 in Lamentations, so it must be 4.
Yep.
4:6 is what we're looking for. Lamentations 4:6. It says, "The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom." That word punishment there is avon. It says, "The avon of the avon." The punishment of the iniquity. Avon is translated punishment first and then rebellion or iniquity. So the punishment, the avon of the avon, is greater than the people, the daughter of my people. It is greater than the avon of the sin of Sodom. And so it means both. And they're tied together. And so here we find that this iniquity is passed down the line. Now, wait a minute, Dr. Noel. That's in the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian.
Well, okay.
And my Bible says in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse. It does. Well, let's look at that. Let's open your Bible to Galatians here. And it says, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for it's written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." That means, he says, that a New Testament Christian cannot be cursed. That's what that means, he says.
Really?
Was the Galatian church Christians? They saved, wasn't they? They were saved. Were they filled with the Holy Ghost? Talking in tongues. There wasn't any other kind in the first century. So we look at it here and we say, And so, they believe that a tongue-talking, filled in the Spirit Christian can't be cursed. And they'll tell you that. Now, if your doctrine says that, and you say that the Galatians were Spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians, look at Galatians 3:1. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among his friends." Who has bewitched you? Now that word in the Greek is smitten you with the evil eye, which is an idiom for be placed under a curse, according to Dr. Derek Prince. Now if you can quote me anybody better expert on Greek than Dr. Prince, I'd like to know him. He studied Greek from the time he was 10 years old. He was made the youngest dean of Greek philosophy in the history of Cambridge University, the most demanding university in the world. And when he got saved, when he got drafted into World War II and filled with the Holy, and he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost when he was in boot camp. And then God had him shipped off to Africa with nothing but his Greek Bible for 5 years. And he was discharged into Palestine to become a missionary. And he lived the rest of his life as a missionary, as a pastor. And he was the one that spearheaded deliverance in this country. Cambridge thought so much of him that they kept his appointment slot open until he was 75 years old. The writing him asked him to please come back. That's how much they thought about him and his knowledge of Greek. I had somebody once told me they knew more about it. He had studied Greek in Greece for 2 years, had a master's in Greece, and he knew more than Dr. Derek Prince. You know what I did? I said, "Oh, foolish scholar, who has bewitched you?" Praise the Lord! That man eventually, he was so proud, he eventually fell into adultery, and he's left the priesthood. And I thought, in the ministry, I felt very sorry for him because he had so much pride. And he'd sit up there and spout off Greek in front of the congregation, and nobody had any idea what he's saying, showing off. And I disagreed with him on some definitions in Greek and quoted Derek Prince, and he said, "Oh, Derek doesn't know what he's talking about." So I show you that these people were bewitched. They'd been placed under a curse by witchcraft teachers, by Antichrist teachers who had a Jezebel Antichrist spirit who had come in and taken them into bondage, telling them they had to keep the Greek law and they had to be circumcised to be saved. And these people were going back under the law being circumcised. They were under a curse because they had left. They did not believe that salvation came by faith. They thought it came by keeping the law. That their righteousness came by keeping the law. And that your righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. He is your righteousness. But let's don't get into that. I just wanted to show you that Well, I said, Lord, you know, if these things come down family lines, surely there must be something in your word that gives an example of it. That, you know, it's got to be in your word. And so first I want to cover familiar spirits. Because familiar spirits and sins of the fathers are tied together, as I understand it. Let's look first at familiar spirits. Where in the Bible does it say that spirits are assigned to your household? That they are spirits that are assigned to your household. Let's open our Bibles to a commonly quoted chapter, verse Matthew chapter 12. And I'm going to give you a little different interpretation of it. And you can go look it up. And I would suggest that you do that and study yourself approved. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is talking in verse 23-28. He talks about casting out demons by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of the kingdom of God has come upon you. For how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first finds a strong man? That's verse 28 and 29. And then he goes on down and he says, O brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he talks about the evil treasures that you can bring up out of your heart. And he says, by your words you will be justified by your words. He said, but I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give account on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Isn't that scary? I'm going to tell you, I stood one day before the great white throne in a vision, and God wasn't very pleased. And he called a witness against me. And it was my tongue. And I said, I say that. And then on the great television screen in the sky, he rolled a tape. There I was, and them words was coming out of my mouth. I said, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, help me. And the vision was over. So be careful of what comes out of your mouth. Guard your tongue. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you, but only the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. And so he talks about that, and then he talks about the evil generation, and Jonah, and Nineveh, and the Queen of Sheba. And he gets down to 43, and he says, and you notice the context has changed entirely from casting demons out of people, till he gets over here to 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, doesn't say it was cast out, just says it goes out. There's nothing in the context to indicate, in Luke that's not true. But here it is. He goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. What does that mean? It means that an evil spirit doesn't get any rest outside of a body. He goes through dry places. Now, your body is 98% water. And this spirit, it goes through these dry places, and it don't find no rest. And what does it say? The Spirit then says, I will. Oh, spirits can will. You know, they got a soul. They got intelligence. They got a will. And they got emotions. James says, you believe there's one God? Demons believe the same thing and they tremble. He got emotions. He says, I will return to my house. That's an interesting word there. That word means household. Now, all of you are familiar with Acts 16:31, where it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved, yea, ye and your whole household. That's that word house. You are familiar with the word house of David, house of Israel, the family of David, the family of Israel. You all familiar with that? I'm going to return to my family. I'm going back to my family that I'm assigned to. And when he comes back, he finds somebody that's emptied and swept, put in order, got room for him. Somebody that he can go into. And he takes seven other spirits and goes in, and that man finds himself worse off than when that demon wasn't there. That's a familiar spirit that's assigned to the family. How did he get assigned to that family? Through the sins of the fathers. Did you know that there are familiar spirits around you that watch you? Record what you say and pass that on back up. Tell other people what you're saying. Where's that in the Bible? Well, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes comes right after the Song of Solomon. You got Proverbs. He comes full of Solomon. Ecclesiastes in the Song of Solomon. I'm sorry. Chapter 10, verse 20. He says, "Do not curse the king even in your thought." We won't go over there right now. We let that one go. I can talk about that for a while. "Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom, for the bird or the air will carry your voice." You notice here now this second one speaks of something you said, not something you thought, but something you said. That bird or air will carry your thought. If you've got an old King James, it says that which has wings. If you've got a new King James, it says a bird in flight will tell the matter. That bird, that first bird, is a winged spiritual creature, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament. It's a winged, and Genesis lexicon of the Greek language. It is a winged spiritual creature. And if you look at that which has wings, that's another kind. That's another word for another kind of winged spiritual creature. So you got at least two kinds that are watching you. One that's watching you day and night. Been watching your grandma and your grandpa and your great-grandma and your spirits don't die. They just watching, recording what you do. You see, the devil is a created entity. He can only be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. It's everywhere. The devil is not omnipresent. He's only in one place at one time. So he has a highly organized army. It starts up in the second heaven and radiates down. And he gets down to what's called, those are the principalities, the evil angels. And then he got what's called the kamakomotos, or the spiritual powers of darkness. And you break that down, that's a world ruler of darkness is what the Greek means. Those are earthbound demons. And a prince, a principality is a prince in the area of his authority. The devil has divided the whole world up into principalities, assigned an evil prince over him. And under him he's got kings, and these are spoken of in Daniel chapter 9. And those things, and then under them, you see, that's the field marshal, and that's the general, and they got colonels, and they got majors. And you got down to the Kamamotos, you got the buck sergeant, the master sergeants, and the sergeants, and the corporals, and the buck privates. A huge number. And each prince has a certain number of evil angels under him, and then they in turn have more, and then they have under them these earthbound demons, as many as they need. Well, there is a finite number. He does not have an unlimited number. And they're watching you. They don't die. They're assigned to your family. And their job is to seduce you, to lie to you, to steal from you, and destroy you. The devil comes, the evil one comes, but to lie, kill, and destroy. Kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. To lie to you, to deceive you, and to destroy you. To make you ineffective for the kingdom of God. Their job is to neutralize you, make you ineffective for the kingdom of God, and kill you as slowly and painfully as possible. They are the tormentors, the torturers, spoken of in Matthew chapter 18. Are you all familiar with that chapter 18? Matthew says, if you do not forgive, and he said, the master was wrought with the unforgiving servant and turned them over to the tormentors, the torturers, or put them in jail, depending on your translation. And those tormentors, that's an interesting word. Originally it meant men who tested currency. And they didn't have paper money then. They had coins. So they had a bunch of caustic solutions. And they did. Yeah, that's real gold. Oh, that's real money. Well, that's silver. That's bronze. And they check it all out. And so these men, that name got transferred to the folks over in the jail who tested your testimony to see whether you tell the truth or not. And they had some interesting ways to do that. They had this cute little thing they put your hand in, put the top on it, and they had some thumb screws. And they'd screw it down and slowly crush your little finger. And say, you sure you tell the truth? You won't change your mind now? Is that what's really happening? And they squeeze a little bit more and crush, and you scream and holler. And they laugh and smile. Say, yeah, I got to tell you, let's try this next one here. And you sure you don't want to tell? You don't want to change your mind? And after they crush all your fingers, then they got all kind of other interesting little ditties they can do to you. They can get you out. They can get you to tell them anything you want. They'll say, you'll say anything they want you to say. Those are the tormentors. Now, you know, you can't get ordinary folks to do that. And so they had to go out and hire sadistic, crazy folks who enjoyed tormenting folks. And that's the demons. Demon-possessed people who enjoyed tormenting folks. And those are the tormentors that you get turned over to if you don't forgive. And they're waiting for you out there. And every family has got certain tormentors assigned to it. And so, let's go back in now and let's look at where in the Bible does it say, I'll tell you some stuff, I'll tell you an interesting story now. Most of you are familiar with it, but I'm going to tell it to you from a little different standpoint. There was a man named Abram, and God called Abram and said, get out of your own country and come to a country I'm going to show you. And he appeared to Abram. It says, Stephen said, he appeared to our father Abram while he was in Mesopotamia. So he went to Haran, and he left his father there, and went on into Canaan, and took Lot with him. And he stopped a couple of places, and he made them, and a famine came on the land. Well, he didn't ask God about it. He decided that he'd go down to Egypt. He made his own plans. And he got down to Egypt, down in there. You know, he went out in rebellion. That's that woe to rebellious children I talked about this morning. Talk about the men's meeting. That's in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1. You make your own plan, not according to God's Spirit. And you know, on his way down there, he said to his Sarai, his wife, who was, now he was about 80 years old, and Sarah was about 70, and he said, Sarah, you know, you're a beautiful woman. Them folks going to see you, and they going to kill me for you. You tell them you's my sister. After all, you are my half-sister. You tell them you're my, don't tell them you're my wife. And they won't kill me. And so they did. They saw this beautiful woman and Pharaoh took them away. And God began to plague Pharaoh. And Pharaoh came back to Abram and said to him, man, what you doing to me? God said to me, that's your wife. He said, you take your woman and take all this stuff. I'm sorry I took her. And I'm going to give you a trespass offering. You get out of my country. And so Abram took his wife and went on back up. And, you know, after about 4 or 5 years, another famine came. This time he went up to Abimelech, went over the Philistines. And would you believe he told the same lie all over again? And this time God appeared to Abimelech and said, that's my prophet you got. But in the meanwhile, before it happened, he was there, you know, and God had promised him this son, and he wasn't having no son. And he's down in rebellion down there. And he brought back this good-looking Egyptian girl with him as a wife, his wife's maid. And they put out the first fleece. Said, hey, you know, Abram, you go into my maid there, which was the custom of the time. And if she gets pregnant, we'll consider that God's will, and that'll be your heir. And so he did. He impregnated this young girl. And then Sarah got mad and ran her off and came back. And the angel appeared to her and said, go back and submit yourself to your mistress. You're going to have a son, and he's going to be a wild donkey of a man. King James uses another word. They use a word that he used for donkey was ass. Going to be a wild donkey. And it referred to a strain of wild donkey in the Judean hills that was untamable. And so here he's got a son. It's this rebellion that he has. There has now traveled into his son. That iniquity. Now he loved that boy. But he's just wild as a donkey. Wild as a wild hare. You know, just went off not doing anything daddy told him to. And eventually he had to send him away. And he cried before God. Oh God, can't you have some part of the inheritance? So I'll take care of him. But he is a child of rebellion and he cannot share. Child of bondage. Rebellion. He cannot share an inheritance with Isaac, the son that is coming. Side the son of promise. And so then famine came. He went up to Abimelech. He lied again and said, that's my sister. And Abimelech took her. And God appeared to him and said, what are you doing, my prophet's wife? You give her back, I'm going to kill you. Besides, I'd have closed up all the wombs in your household. And so he comes and he offers a trespass offering and says, pray for me. That God go open my wife's wombs again. That my women will start bearing children again. And so Abraham prayed for him. God heard it, opened the living Abimelech. And 9 months later, would you believe that Sarah's womb got open? You know, he sowed it over here. He received it back in his own wife for forgiveness. He forgave Abraham. So that's what happens when you forgive. You see, you sow goodness over here, comes back into your life. Now, so Sarah dies, and he sends back, and he gets a wife for his son. His son gets married. His wife's barren for 20 years. And he's praying, God, give me a child. So he has twins. And guess, Pete, that first one that come out is named Esau. A wild donkey of a man. He got Uncle Ishmael's character. Here comes that sin of rebellion down again. That rebellious character. And Jacob, the second son, was called Jacob, which means heel grabber or deceiver. And that spirit of lying has come down into his son. You're all familiar with these stories, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And at the same time, you know, the Philistines are filling up all his wells that he inherited from his daddy, stealing his land from him. He have all kinds of problems. Philistines are stealing his water rights. And then, one son steals his other son's birthright and then steals the blessing by lying to him. And Jacob comes and says, but mother, if I be a... He says, if my father sees me a deceiver, I'll get a curse. But he deceives his father, lying to him, and he has to go off to Uncle Abram, Labram. Now, Labram, he apparently that lying demon came out of Abraham's father, because him, Labram, he was a deceiver and a liar too, changed his wages 10 times. When he got married, what did he do? He gave him the wrong girl. Got him drunk and gave him the wrong girl. And then he changed his wages 10 times. And then he got ready to leave. And he snuck off in the middle of the night and stole Abram's gods. His favorite wife stole the gods. Said, no, I ain't got them. And so what did he do? He catches up with them and says, well, I'm going to hunt, I'm going to find them. And so she goes and puts them in the camel, in the saddlebags of the camel, and sits down on it. And he comes in and says, Father, forgive me, my period's on, man. I don't feel good, and I can't get up. Yeah. And what did he say? He said, anybody that's got those gods, let them die. Now, about 12 months later, his wife dies in childbirth. Yeah. The one who stole the gods. He cursed his wife. Don't know if a father that a husband can curse his wife and curse his employees. There's an example. Curse going in. And so, then Jacob, you know, he raises a whole bunch of boys, gets his daughter raped, punishment, and the evil spirit's coming in, and so he gets ready to go to the house of God, to go down to Bethel, that's the house of God. What did he do before he went to the house of Bethel, God told him to do? He said, get all the idols, foreign gods, and the earrings out of your... And he took all the earrings, pierced earrings, and all the idols, buried them on the tree, and went to the house of God. Did that tell somebody earrings? Huh? Now, in the law, who wore an earring? A slave. Now, I asked some young men about this. Said, I'm a slave of Jesus. I said, well, the law says that the master will put you up against the door and pierce your ear. Did Jesus pierce your ear? No, I had done it at the beauty parlor. Well, you're the slave of the man and the woman at the beauty parlor that did it. Not Jesus Christ. I tell you, if you've got pierced ears, lady, I don't want to hurt your feelings. But it's a sign of slavery and prostitution. Whoredom. Rape. And leaving the sign of rape, prostitution, and lying. Of course, Levi and Simon lied to all them folks at Shechem. Said, you get circumcised and we're going to be your brothers. Got them circumcised. Went out while they were still sore, killed all of them, stole everything. And so they came on down to Bethel. And that's where Rachel died. And then, his oldest son goes and sleeps with one of his wives, defiled his father's bed, loses his birthright, so he gave the birthright then to Joseph, the child of his favorite wife. He's a young 16-year-old kid walking around, and he was given a robe with long sleeves. The King James says many-colored, but modern translation says it's a long-sleeve robe. It's a robe with long sleeves, came all the way down to the feet. You wore one of those, couldn't work. You see, you could only take a... You ladies know that if you've got a dress that comes all the way down to here, you're going to take short steps. See, he couldn't walk fast. He walked around, you know. Oh, he couldn't work. And father sent him out to check on the boys and came brought back an evil report. Them boys are goofing off. Because he was the eldest son. He was going to inherit double portion. So then he had some dreams and he's foolish enough to tell them about them. So they got a little jealous. Now here comes that dreamer. They threw him down into a well, and they pulled him up, sold him to slavery, took his robe, poured goat's blood over it, and took it to his father and tore it. Said, "Is your son's blood?" Lied again. And you all know the story of Joseph and the redemption in Egypt and so forth. And the last thing that the boys did after the old man died, they wrote Joseph a letter in his name and said, "Please forgive your brothers for what you did." They didn't. He said, "You know, God, y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I have no evil feelings towards you. I forgive you. It's come and live, and I will take care of you. For I am the Pharaoh's made me ruler of the land." When Daddy died, boy, they wrote him this lying letter and said, "Dad said for you to please forgive us." Still the lying. And you can trace it on down. Judah got into incest with his daughter-in-law. Cursed the tribe of Judah for 10 generations. Because of that, the first king came out of Benjamin. Y'all ever wonder why the first king came out of Benjamin? If you go and you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, I just want to show you it's in the Bible here how these curses go down and how these evil spirits that are attached and these iniquities get repeated over and over again. These iniquities, these evil lying spirits, these spirits of incest, these spirits of rape, these spirits of lying, cheating, stealing, and murder, they all went down through the line. They were signed. They had a legal right to stay there because they got repeated. Look at Matthew chapter 1, starting with 3. Judah begot Perez. And Zimrah by Tamra. And Tamra was his daughter-in-law. And Perez got Hebron, Haran, and Ram, Amminadab, Amminadab, Joshim, Salmon, Boaz by Ruth, the Moabitess. Boaz begot Boaz by Rahab, the harlot. Boaz begot Ruth by, got Oab by Ruth, the Moabitess. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David, the king. And if you count down, you will find that Jesse is the 10th generation. Jesse is the 10th generation. And so the curse of incest and illegitimacy had run out. Therefore, David could become king. And so then Judah could have a king. Well, that's the reason they had Saul the Benjaminite, who was the anointed of God. You can look at David. David's sin. And you can look at the evil spirits if you want to read about it. I won't go into that. I've covered enough him. But I want you to see, it's in the Bible, that the curse follows through. That's in the, said, "Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image of anything that's in the likeness of heaven above, or earth beneath, the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down and worship them. The Lord thy God is a jealous God, imputing the iniquity of the fathers unto the sons to the third and the fourth generation." That's both in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And there's another interesting commandment in there. The only one with a promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it will go well with thee, and that you'll live a long time. Now, it don't say honor your father if he's good to you. You don't say honor your father and your mother if they're nice, sweet, wonderful people. It says honor your father if he was a rascal and impregnated your mother and ran off and never supported you and you ain't never heard of him again. It still says honor him. That you'll live a long time. Yeah, that you'll live a long time. And it'll go well with you. You don't want things to go well with you, don't honor the rascal. How you honor him? You pray for him and ask God to bless him and bring him to salvation and to touch him. You sow honor and blessings into his life. You sow honor and blessings in your mother's life. It's the law of reaping and sowing. Sowing and reaping. I tell you that whatever you sow in this life, you're going to reap. Now that you hear the prosperity preacher preach on this, and they talk about sowing and reaping, and there's one verse in the Bible that speaks about sowing and reaping money, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's about sowing bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. And he's talking about money. But the rest of the time, he's talking about sowing condemnation and judgment. You sow condemnation and judgment in the life of somebody that hurts you, what you going to reap? You're going to reap that condemnation and judgment back in your life. That's what it says, Matthew chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1. It says, sow. It says, he talks about love, forgiveness, and mercy. And he says, it's He said, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, it shall be poured into your bosom as you give it out. He ain't talking about money. He's talking about love, giving out love and mercy and forgiveness. Go back and read the context of that verse in Luke chapter 6. And the last one is Galatians. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. That which you sow, you shall also reap. Now you hear that. And they talk about money. Ain't it a thing to do with money? Said he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so I say to you people, sow mercy, love, and compassion on your parents, and on your enemies, and on your co-workers, and everybody you come in contact with, and you will reap it back in your life. Now, what are some of the... Let's look at the results of the sins of the fathers. And the best list of this is in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 5, starting with verse 7. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. We bear the punishment. Servants rule over us in bondage. There is none delivers from their hand. In other words, they're in bondage and can't get out. The only one to deliver them is the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can deliver you. We get our bread at the risk of our lives. That's poverty. Because of the sword in the wilderness, it's oppression. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. So you starve into death, which opens you to infirmity spirits. The thing that destroys so many young children in the third world is they aren't fed properly. They don't get enough protein. They don't get enough food. Therefore, their immunity is starved, and they're open to infection and they die. Sins of the fathers. Always? No. But that's one cause. They ravished the women in Zion. Rape. The maidens of the cities in Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands. Abuse. Elders are not respected. Young men grind at the millstone and boys stagger under heavy loads of wood. That's hard labor. Elders have ceased gathering at the gate and young men from their music. People are all, they're isolated in their homes and they're afraid to meet. Isolation. The joy of the heart has ceased. Sadness. Our dance has turned to mourning. Heaviness. Crown has fallen from my head. Woe to us, for we sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. That's fear. Men's hearts fail for fear, it says in Matthew. There's a type of heart failure. It's caused by fear. Described in the New England Journal of Medicine last year. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Blindness. Death and dumb spirits. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate with foxes, walk on it, desolation. And so those are the fruits of the sins of the fathers. Bondage, poverty, oppression, starvation, rape, abuse, hard labor, isolation, sadness, heaviness, fallen conditions, fear, blindness, desolation. Surely must be madness in there someplace. Because all these correspond to Deuteronomy 28. O Lord, remain forever. Your throne is from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. That is repentance. Turn us, O Lord God. You know, you cannot turn from your sin without God. It's godly sorrow that brings repentance. You have to choose to follow it. God gives you a choice. When you get convicted of your sin, grab it and run with it. That's all I can say for you. Don't turn it down. God convicts you that this is sin. You better grab it and run with it because He's offering you repentance and freedom. You say, I'm not quite ready. I got a little bit more living I want to do. I'll do that later. It may be a long time later and you may be in real trouble before you get that repentance again. That's all I can say to you. When God convicts you of sin, grab it and run with it. and run to God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will lift up a standard. The standard is the cross of Jesus Christ. And you grab that repentance and you run to the cross and say, "Oh God, help me, I can't turn without You. Turn me, O Lord God, and I will be turned. Turn me." But you have to make the decision to do it. Renew our days of old, unless You utterly reject us and are very angry with us. And that says the same thing in Psalm 80, verses 3, 7, and 19. The same word. And that is translated restore. But hence translated turn, which is a better translation. Turn us, O Lord God, and we will be turned. In the name of Jesus. And we're going to look. I can go through this for another hour. And look at the various sins that come down through family lines. First is a sin of incest and illegitimacy. Now these are found in Deuteronomy chapter 23. They run 10 generations. There's some excellent books back there on the bastard curse. Now that's a very good King James word. It's not a bad word. I like it rather than illegitimacy because it has shock value. It gets your attention. Now I did some genealogy studies in another family a while back. Good, honest, God-fearing German people, evangelical. And I was surprised how many premature babies they had. They had a whole bunch of 7 months. But first baby always, you know. First baby can come any time. All others take 9 months. There are a lot of 7-month babies. And so I knew that I was under the curse of illegitimacy. You got any idea what your blood kin was doing 400 years ago? Figuring 40 years for a generation. If you want to figure 20 years, what you got any idea what your blood kin was doing 200 years ago? All right. Next is returning evil for good. Somebody is nice to you, does you a good turn, you turn and stick a knife in their back. Proverbs says that evil shall not leave your household. That's a perpetual curse spoken of in Psalm 109. That is, it tells you what happens to the curse of the vagabond. The returning evil for good, Psalm 109. 109 or 107, which is it, Bill? Well, I think it's 107. I have to look and see. I get those two confused all the time. Lord, forgive me. But let's see here. Yep, it's 109. 107 is about rebellion. Mm-hmm. It's 109. You need to read that. The witches say it's a perfect curse. That's what they use when they read out of the Bible. They want to put a curse on you. They read that psalm. The curse is in that psalm. But it covers everything. The curse of the vagabond, the curse of poverty, the curse of sickness. Okay, and so you got the returning for evil for good. You got the curse of whoredom. That's in Hosea chapter 4, verses, starts with about verse 13, about verse 9, and runs through verse 13. It says, "Whoredom wine and new wine take away the heart." That's the curse of learning disabilities. That's the curse of sexual immorality. That's the curse of idolatry, chasing after money. And putting other things before God. And it says that your daughters are going to become whores. You know, something that upset a man more than anything is for his daughter to become sexually promiscuous. I don't know anything that hurts a man as bad as for his daughter to be called a whore. But that's what the Bible says. Why? Because the fathers have gone aside and slept with the ritual prostitute. And God and offered offerings in the temple of Baal. The wives will commit adultery. And then it says on further in Ezekiel, it says like mother, like daughter. You'll pass down from mother to daughter, from father to son, father to daughter. Curse of whoredom, witchcraft. It's also a curse of witchcraft. Whoredom is also witchcraft. Because a divination rod informs them. Now idols speak to them. Curse of abortion. Curse of abortion, you ought to read it. Bill Banks has got a book back there called Ministering to Abortion's Aftermath. I'd recommend that you read it. It runs through father, through family lines. It passes down through from. I talked to one lady whose grandmother was illegitimate and she was adopted. She had the curse of rejection come into her because her grandmother was rejected and was put out, cast out. We don't want you. Given to a good Christian family, but was rejected by her natural mother. She was illegitimate. So the curse of illegitimacy came down. The curse of rejection came down. Her mother, and then the grandmother, got pregnant, and she tried to abort her mother. And so the curse of abortion came down. And so here we got the curse of fornicator whoredom, the curse of illegitimacy, the curse of rejection, the curse of abortion, and it jumps a generation. Her daughter gets pregnant out of wedlock, and she called on the phone. And she said, "Mother, something's terribly wrong. I can't hold my baby. When I hold it and I look down at it, its thought goes through my mind. Why don't you just twist its head and break its neck, and you won't be bothered with it? Why don't I just twist its head and break its neck?" It's always in the first person. The devil always speaks to you in the first person, make you think you're thinking it yourself. "Why don't you just break its neck, then I won't be bothered with it?" And she's scared her to death. "Something wrong. It's not me. I can't breastfeed it. It nauseates me. I don't want to hold it. I know that's not right." Mother just read the book by Bill and Sue Banks. And so she went over and she sat down and prayed for that girl and broke the curse of abortion, because her mother had told her that grandmother had tried to abort her. They'd taken a bunch of quinine to try to abort her when she was pregnant. That's one of the ways they used to, it was an abortifacts they used to use 100 years ago. It was quinine. I used it. I can remember one child I had who was deaf because mother had taken this huge dose of quinine to try to abort the baby. Didn't abort the baby, but it made him deaf. And so she went home and she broke the curse of abortion and she began to pray for her, for this child. And as she prayed for him, girl broke down and cried. She picked up a baby and began to love it and breastfeed it and said, "Thank God it's gone. Curse of abortion." 1.5 million children a year aborted in this country. A full million born that we know of that are reported. If you've ever participated in abortion, ever counseled anybody to have an abortion, ever been in the room when it was done, or in the room when they counseled it, you got the curse of abortion on you. And I'm going to tell you, God hates abortion. He said about Manasseh, he said he's filled the streets with the innocent blood of the children they offered to Baal, which is the equivalent of abortion, infanticide, killing babies. He said, "This sin I will not forgive." And he was speaking of the nation there. But he feels strongly about killing his babies. They're his. He said, "The babies belong to me. They're my babies." You read his word, he's very specific about it. And so you've done these things, you need to break the curse. You need to repent of sin and break the curse so it won't pass on to your family. I meet lots of women who can't take care of their children. They're the mechanical moms. They do what they have to do, but there's no love, no affection. They are bookkeepers downtown. They put their kids in daycare from the time they're 3 months old and run off and work. They gotta have their career, their call in life. There's nothing fulfilling about washing dirty diapers and picking up pukey babies and no. I said, "Well, ain't nothing fulfilling about adding up a bunch of numbers or seeing 10 kids with tonsillitis, or changing diapers in the nursery, or helping old folks in the nursing homes. Don't get that. There's nothing great and magnificent about that. But his work has to be done. And if God's called you to it, do it for his fulfillment. And nothing greater calling than to influence a child, to be a loving influence and offer God's love, security, and nurturing to his children. To his children." I'm sorry, and I get off my soapbox. Curse of abortion comes down the family line. Curse of lying. Curse of the thief and lying in Zechariah. The scroll had the lying on one side, the perjurer on one side, and the thief on the other. "Will enter the house of the thief and utterly destroy it. It will be consumed timbers." That's your family, your household. I may have left out some, I don't know. But those are all curses. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's 7 different types of curses and 7 different types of blessings for obedience, 7 different types of curses for disobedience. It's listed in my book, Rejection. It'd be good to read it. Curse of slavery, madness, poverty, sickness, disease, separation from God, loss of family, blindness. I think that's most of them. Because your children will leave home and you go blind looking out the window waiting for them to come back. Praise God. A lot of people right now, everywhere I go, I see signs say this child lost. We left home at 10 years of age. Ain't been seen since. How many of them are stole by witchcraft and offered as sacrifices? Yeah. Don't think it don't happen.
Amen.
Don't think it don't happen. I know it happens.
Amen.
I don't want to talk about it too much. I once was on I used to pray for children who had escaped from witchcraft. The mothers would bring them out of satanic caverns. The mothers would show up at my office. I don't know where they came from, and I don't know where they went. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't want to know. They'd call, I'd make an appointment for them. I'd see them. I'd pray for them. I didn't know where they came from. I didn't know where they were staying. I didn't know where the safe house was. I had no curiosity at all. They would tell me what had happened to them, and I'd pray for them. I'd see them 3 or 4 times, and they'd go. I'd never see them again. I was just a stop on the Underground Railway. But I can tell you terrible things happen in Satanism. Satanic covens, witches' covens, terrible things happen in witches' covens. You don't want to get involved in it. That's all I can say to you. You don't want to get involved. The charmer. I speak of it. I lightly touch on it in my book on hypnosis and on one young girl who was trapped by a charmer. Actually, there were 3 girls. God, I prayed and God opened it to me and He showed me what happened. I was trying to pray for this girl for deliverance and I said, God, I need knowledge. And He said, He opened it to me and I just got nauseated. I got so nauseated I vomited. But it gave me the knowledge I needed to help set this girl free. So we're going to stop now. Anybody stand up? We've been talking over an hour, a little over an hour and 10 minutes. And said the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Let's get up, hold up your hands, and stomp your feet a little bit, jump up and down, and praise God. Get your blood moving. But God told me that I was not to give religious speeches, teachings, but I was to give people a chance to get free. And so we're going to bind, and we're going to break curses and bind demons now in the name of Jesus so that people can get free. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. Those taken at the point of the spear, sold into slavery and bondage. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Lord God. Now, God honors the gospel. And I always start any prayer service with a declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to declare the gospel before God. Say,
Dear Lord,
I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth
is the Son of God.
He was manifested in the flesh.
Came on this earth.
Lived as a man.
Was crucified
on the cross
for my sin.
Was raised from the dead
on the third day.
For my justification, that I might be declared not guilty.
He ascended into heaven,
sits on the right hand of the Father,
ever to make intercession for me.
God is my Father.
Jesus is my big brother.
I am a member
of the family of God.
I have been translated
into the kingdom of light,
of the Son of His love.
I am not a member
of this earth,
but I am a member
of the household of God.
I am ambassador
to this earth
of the Most High God.
Jesus is my Father.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord Jesus, I thank You.
I have been made accepted
in the Beloved
by the blood of Jesus.
I am not a rejected child.
I thank You, Lord.
I bind
all the spirits of rejection
in the name of Jesus.
I break
all the curses
from the sins of the fathers.
Lord, Your word says in Leviticus 26, verse 40, that if I repent of my sin and the sins of my fathers, you will heal my land. Lord Jesus, I repent of the sins of my fathers, of whoredom, vagabond, poverty, witchcraft, the occult, illegitimacy, incest, madness, insanity. In the name of Jesus, I break all these curses. Break the curse of lying and stealing, cheating. In the name of Jesus, I break them. I break them. In Jesus' name. For He was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. I command all these things. Come off of me now. And my seed forever. By the blood of Jesus. Turn me loose. In Jesus' name. Everybody hold up their hands. Drop off of them now. Drop off of them. Drop off of them. All the chains of bondage now. Drop off. All right, all you spirits, come out now. Let them go. Everybody take a deep breath and let them go. Come on out. Out now. All of it. Come on out. Come on out. All the sins of the fathers. All the witchcraft. All the voodoo. I break the curses of the voodoo. I break all the curses that have come down, that have been placed on these family lines by protectors, by practitioners of voodoo and witchcraft and mumba and ukutaka. In the name of Jesus, I break their power. Turn them loose now. I come against all the potions that have been made in the name of Jesus. All the charms that have been made. All the charms that have been charmed. All the enchantments that have been said. I bind them. I break them under the blood of Jesus Christ. I break them. I break them. I break them. Drop off in the name of Jesus. Drop off of them in the name of Jesus. Come out of them. Come out of their bodies now. In the name of Jesus. All you spirits of infirmity, come out. All you spirits of infirmity, all you tormenting devils, in the name of Jesus, I break your power. Spirits of torment, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Let them go. I break the curse of the Antichrist now. All the Antichrist devils, all these Antichrist devils that won't let them read the Word, that won't let them understand, that bind their minds. All you Jezebel Antichrist spirits, I bind you. Come out, all you Hindu spirits, all you Taoist spirits, all you Buddhist spirits, come out, all you Indian spirits, all you African spirits, come out. Let them go. Thor, I break the curse of Thor, of Valhalla, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out, Valhalla. Die with a sword in your hand. Come out. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. I break the curse of learning disabilities now. All the curses of learning disabilities in the name of Jesus. All the curses of ADD in the name of Jesus. All the curses of hyperactivity, attention deficit disorder in the name of Jesus. All the curses of lack of intellect. I break their power now. Turn them loose. Spirits of bondage. Speaking of your bondage. I isolate you from all other spirits. You've got no power, authority, or communicate with no other spirit. You let God's people go. Uncoil off their minds now in the name of Jesus. Let them go. I send the hornets after you. I send the hornets from heaven. Torment you. The stinging plague to utterly destroy you in the name of Jesus. And all God's folks said, Amen. Everybody sit down now. We're going to come against rejection now. I've written a book on rejection back there, which is a unfolding revelation of the spirit of rejection and how it works in your life. There's also a book over here that's written for young athletes. My son wrote it. He is a chaplain to the Olympic athletes. Foreword was written by Josh Davis, who has 6 or 8 gold medals. I can't in swimming. He was captain of the swim team for 6 or 8 years or 10 years, long time. Well, time runs together for me. But it's an excellent book if you've got grandchildren or children that are in sports that require competitive sports in which they must perform. Your sports, cheerleading, band, anything that requires them to compete against themselves or against their friends, to improve their performance, they need to read it. Because coaches use rejection to force them to excel. And they struggle with projection, therefore, that's the reason that most of the professional athletes today are plagued with drug problems, are plagued with whoredom problems, are plagued with chasing after money, trying to buy success. These things are very common. And it comes from the way that they were trained to excel. If you've got children in this, you ought to buy it and read it and have them read it. It's written. It's a very expensive book to have published because it's got a lot of color photographs in it. And it's written to appeal to kids. I recommend it to you. It's called Real Joy. The Joy of Winning for God. Now, we're going to come against rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of rejection. Turn them loose. Turn them loose, rejection. All the rejection, I break your power. Fear of being rejection. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being good enough. Come on out. Self-rejection. Come on out. Self-rejection. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Command you to go now in the name of Jesus. All the self-rejection, I break its power. Self-rejection, self-hatred, body hatred, hating your body in the name of Jesus Christ. Hating yourself, hating your body, thinking your body is not good enough. You got to put earrings in your eyebrows and in your nose and in your tongue. You got to tattoo pictures on you. You got to cut it because you hate it. In the name of Jesus, you mutilate it. Come out in the name of Jesus. All self-hatred, hatred of the body in the name of Jesus. I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. The body belongs to Jesus Christ. Turn it loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose, you foul devil. This body belongs to Jesus Christ. I bind idolatry in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind denial of love. Come out. Denial of love. Come out. Denial of love. Turn into the world for love. Come out. Come out. All the idolatry. Daydreaming and fantasy. Daydreaming and fantasy. I bind fantasy and daydreaming and love of the world. All that's in the world, the love of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of God, but is of the world. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All the lust of the world. What is the lust of the eye? What is seen in the name of Jesus Christ? All these people think their body's not good enough. They got to go have their hair changed. They got to go have their nails enlarged. They got to go have curves put where they don't have them and take curves out in the name of Jesus. They got to have hair put on their head so they'll be attractive in the name of Jesus. I bind all these foul demons in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All these come out. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, you got to eat. Come out. God of the belly, I bind the God of the belly in the name of Jesus. Got to have sweets. Come out. Got to have sweet food, good food. Come out. In the name of Jesus, got to have light bread. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All you come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out. I get security because I got plenty of food in the house in the name of Jesus. I got sympathy. It makes me feel good to see my babies eat and get fat. Come out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. God of the belly, come out in the name of Jesus. Pride of life, narcissistic, pride of self, love of self, self-control. I want it for me and mine. I bind the narcissistic spirit. Come out, narcissism, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I bind all the fear. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not being accomplished in the name of Jesus. Here you go. I come against the grasshopper spirit. I come against the spirit of the grasshopper. We were grasshoppers in our eyes and so we were in theirs. I bind that grasshopper spirit, the spirit of rebellion and grasshopper. Come out. Come out, grasshopper spirits. Go back to bondage. Go back to bondage. We won't hear God anymore. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus, all the grasshopper spirits, all the spirits of perfectionism. Perfectionism, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to keep the rules just right. Nobody's going to be able to find fault with me. Come out. Come out. Come out, perfectionism. Come out. I'm going to tell you. Come out, spirits of criticism, hypercriticism. Come out. Check in work. Recheck in work. Check in those under you's work. Find constructive criticism. Yeah, come constructive criticism. Come out. Come out. Come out. Frustration. Frustrated because they can't keep the rules. They can't do it like you want them to do it. Come out. Frustration. Anger. Frustration. Anger. Rage and hostility and murder. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind all those spirits in Jesus' name. Paranoia, I bind you. I bind the spirits of pride. Pride, I speak to you. Foul devil, turn them loose. Come out, pride. Haughty spirits. Haughty spirit goes before a fall. Come out, pride. Pride. Rebellion. Our fathers acted proudly. They were rebellious. They would not hear the word. They acted stubborn and stiff necks. Come out. And they returned to bondage. Come out, all the spirits of stubborn, stiff-necked pride in the name of Jesus. All the rebellion. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And idolatry is in. Rebellion is idolatry. Come out. All you spirits, I got to be in control. I got to always be in charge. I got to always know what's happening. I got to always know why. Come out. I want to know why it happened. I want to know why it happened. Come out. Come out. God, you owe me an exclamation. You owe me. You need to tell me why. You owe it to me. I bind that spirit. I think God owes you an exclamation. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. You Jezebel devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Everybody take a deep breath now. Come on out, Jezebel. Now cough. I want everybody to cough and push it out. Come on out, Jezebel. I get more out of men than I do out of women. So come on, men. Cough and get Jezebel out of you. In the name of Jesus. Come on out, Jezebel. Let them go. All those Jezebel spirits, you got to know why. Got to know why. Come on out. All those got to know why spirits. Come out. All those spirits, I'm going to be in charge in the name of Jesus. I'm going to keep the rules. I'm going to make it right in the name of Jesus. I'm going to do it right in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out, all you foul devils, in the name of Jesus. I break your power and command you to go. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I come against the Hindu spirits now. I come against all the Hindu spirits. I break the curse of the Hindu spirits. I break the curse of yoga. Lamas. Yoga. In the name of Jesus Christ. Break the Buddhist spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind Savannah. Silva. Kanilima. In the name of Jesus. Kelai. Come out. All you Hindu spirits, come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. All you spirits of sexual immorality. All you spirits of incest. All you spirits of bestiality. All you spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you Hindu spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus, all you Egyptian spirits of Teo, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind Teoism. I bind the spirits of martial arts. I bind the spirits of acupuncture, acupressure. Come out. All the spirits that depend on the yin and the yang and the pina and the pusha. In the name of Jesus, the balancing of the evil and the good forces in your body. Come out! All those spirits, I bind you in Jesus' name. All you Hindu spirits, all you Eastern spirits, I come against the spirits of unity. I come against the spirits of unity in the name of Jesus and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons in the name of Jesus. You spirit of Mormonism, I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out and let them go. Jesus Christ was not born on some planet far away. He is not Lucifer's little brother. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you Mormon spirits in the name of Jesus, I break your power in the name of Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' mighty name. All you Jehovah's Witness spirits in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ was not Michael the Archangel. He was the Son of God. And I break your power in Jesus' name. And I bind you, all you foul, evil spirits, in the name of Jesus. Break your power. Command you to go in the name of Jesus. I come against the stubborn spirits. The spirits of the scoffer, the scorner. Come on out. The scoffing spirits, the scorning spirits. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. All the Antichrist spirits, all you spirits of the Antichrist, I bind you and I break your power. They won't let people read the Bible. You won't let them understand. You steal from them. You make them think that they're unsaved. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power, you foul devils. I speak fire and destruction to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I send the hornets from heaven after you, and I break your power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of witchcraft, the pecking spirits. The spirits, if I just argue long enough, I can get my way. In the name of Jesus. I just sit and argue and argue and argue until I wear them down. I break that stubborn witchcraft spirit in the name of Jesus. Be gone. I break all the curses of idolatry. We thank the Lord. I speak to the throat now. I speak to the dry throat. I speak to dysphagias, trouble swallowing. I speak to dry throats in the name of Jesus. And I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to low thyroids. And I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, low thyroids. No thyroids. Low thyroids. High thyroid. Hashimoto's disease. I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. Bitter spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull out the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. I pull out the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. I pull out the root of unforgiveness and bitterness and self-pity in the name of Jesus. Come out! Let them go! I command the bladder to work functionally in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of human papillomavirus. In the name of Jesus, the chlamydia in the name of Jesus, all infections, all sexually transmitted infections, I break that power. I curse them by the roots of the roots, and I command them to dry up and go away in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse them to their roots in the name of Jesus and command them to go. Come against diabetes. I break the curse of diabetes. I speak to diabetes. Pancreas, I say, make insulin in the name of Jesus. I speak to burning in the joints in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to diabetes. I bind cancer. Cancer, I speak to you. I bind you in Jesus' name. I command you to come out of God's people. I speak to all cancers. All cancers. Cancer, line up with the Word of God. You're in rebellion. I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus and come out of God's people. Let them go. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Everybody hold up their hands now and praise God. And stand up. Praise your Lord. Lord, it is your love, Lord God. It is your love, Lord, that heals. It is your love that delivers. It is your love, Lord God. Let your love come down now. Let your compassion and your love flow, Lord God. Let the love of God, Lord, we shall let flow into your people now, Lord. Your love. Your love, Lord. Oh, God, touch your people, Lord, and break them free from bondage, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch them and deliver them now, Lord God. Lord, we ask you to fill them, Lord. Fill all these places, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We speak healing and restitution to God's people now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Lord, bless the food. Bless the food, Lord God. Bless those that cooked it. And then we're going to eat it. Make it strength our bodies, Lord, for your glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.